Good morning. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 38 will serve as our text this morning. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Before we get to our personal applications, we're going to begin with a little Bible study dealing with the Old Testament background of this statement. And this comes from Exodus chapter 21, beginning in verse 22. If men fight and hurt a woman with child, so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And again in the book of Leviticus, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused disfigurement of a man, so shall it be done to him. And again in the book of Deuteronomy, and the judges shall make careful inquiry. And indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and those who remain shall hear in fear, and hereafter there shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now, these statutes and this principle has come down to us to be known as lex talionis, which is a Latin phrase meaning the law of retaliation, or better in the context, the law of just retribution. And this is the basis of the divinely given law of Moses concerning civil and criminal matters in the theocracy of Israel. Bible revelation is progressive, and this is just one example. Under the Noahide law, long before Moses, God said, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. And later, in the New Testament, capital punishment for premeditated murder is affirmed as a right of just government. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Jesus never questioned legitimate authority of governments to carry out capital punishment. Instead, he said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And so, the Bible itself provides the basis for our legal system. And you probably have heard the term equal justice under the law. Well, equal justice under the law comes from the Mosaic Law and the principles set forth in it, particularly the Lex Talionis, which Jesus expounds in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the purpose of this Old Testament law was not only for equity in judgment, but also for mercy, to make limits, so that the punishment for the crime does not exceed the nature of the crime. Now, I have read the comment from certain commentators that, quote, Jesus overrides Old Testament teaching in our text in the Sermon on the Mount. This is ignorance and nonsense. What our Lord was doing was placing the law concerning equal justice under the law in its proper context and getting to our own vengeful hearts in the way that we, as individual sinners, like to misapply it in our own personal dealings, making ourselves judge, jury, and executioner in our personal lives. Now, this law was intended as a rule of law for a godly nation, but it was never intended as a rule of life for the Christian. And so Jesus, while affirming the justness of the law, goes on to explain what the rule of law for the Christian ought to be. And he proceeds after our text, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to see you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. And from this, we learn the following lessons. Rather than take the principle of Lex Talionis and return insult for insult and injury for injury, let us be patient with others who ignorantly mistreat us. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And so, when we apply the law of retribution, let us be careful to apply it in matters of mercy, in matters of love, in matters of patience, and in matters of forgiveness, after the same manner that Christ applied it to each and every one of us. And when we start to think like that, we begin to think like the Lord and operate in God's will. See, friends, we live in a society in which everyone is obsessed with their rights. And any perceived violation of somebody's rights is met with protest many times with violent protests against people who have nothing to do with your grievance. People who believe they have a right to murder their own babies or mutilate their own bodies in vain attempts to change their God-given gender, feel justified in their rage against those who care enough to speak the truth to them. Let them repent. But you, Christian friend, follow the rule of the apostle. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with the good. Let us thank God that he has not exacted from us the punishment that we deserve for our sins against him. And instead, let us imitate his mercy. To you who thinks he can keep the law, listen carefully. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not commit murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you'll become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. May we be quick to help those in need, especially spiritually. May God grant us the wisdom never to be enablers and the boldness never to be doormats, even as we extend his mercy in obedience to his words. And let us go the extra mile. Consider how many miles Jesus traveled. Even from his third tour of Galilee to Perea, to Bethany, even to Jerusalem, perhaps 80 or 100 miles the Savior walked just on that journey, taking the circuitous route. And then our Lord walked that extra mile from Jerusalem to Calvary outside the camp, carrying his cross to go and to die for you. For your sins, in your place. He did not revile sinners. He did not repay us our sins with his vengeance and just judgment, as was his perfect right to do. But instead, he chose mercy. He chose to lay down his righteousness for a moment and take the arrows of the Father against all of your sin upon himself in the person of his Son at the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That it might be fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah wrote: surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cast off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. Friends, your road is easier. Even Simon of Cyrene, who was compelled to carry the cross of our Lord under Roman law up to a mile, even if he would have had to carry it too, did not walk the extra mile as Jesus did. Friends, whatever you bear, whatever mile the Lord has given you to walk, know this, that he is walking there with you, and that his hand of mercy is extended. And if you know Jesus, you know the distinct hand with the nail print, for he is risen. And he walks with each and every one of us today. Friends, your mile walk the mile walk for each and every one of us is obeying and imitating Jesus concerning patience, meekness, and mercy. So let the law have its place in the civil and criminal codes of the United States of America. But let the law of mercy, the law of love, and the law of Christ have its place in your life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for clarifying the truth of your law in the Sermon on the Mount. We thank you for speaking to the heart of it. For Lord, many times we can be an unloving and a judgmental and an unmerciful people. Lord, help us that we might understand the law in its place, but that we might also understand the heart of the law. And we thank you that you have given us great guidance in your book as to how to work that out, to live that out, to work out our own salvation. And Lord, if there are any who are struggling in any of these areas, may you impress your mercy upon the heart, the conscience, the mind, that we all might be more conformed into your image. If there are any who have come here this morning, perhaps driven a couple of miles or walked a couple of miles to get here, but have not walked the extra mile of accepting the fact that they are sinners in need of a Savior, that you have died for their sins, paying the penalty for their sin, and risen from the dead, and that you freely offer salvation that can never be taken away. Not by the Lord, not by the devil, not even by themselves. That believe this gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May your Spirit work in that individual. And may this soul rest in your very salvation this morning. We pray that you will guide the remainder of our service, the sign of peace, that our interactions are honorable, the communion table, that it be honored and not blasphemed, and every other thing that takes place throughout the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.